Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Can we all read it together? The former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Hallelujah. Since this scripture has become my favorite scripture, right? Okay. Let's take our second reading. We'll take two readings today. And they are very short readings. Today I'm not going to load you with a lot of readings, like long reading, but I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. So let's go to the book of 2 Timothy, the chapter 3, and the verse 9. 2 Timothy. It's after the book of Exodus. In between Nehemiah and Esther. Have you found it? If you can't find it, go to the back of the Bible. Show me you find it. Are we there? Dorcas, you're welcome. Okay. Come with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience. Are we there? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you all the praise. As your word is coming unto us, we pray that you will not be just the hearers of your word, but do us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are on the last episode to the introduction to the value system. Hopefully God will, maybe, as I always say, maybe, because we don't know what else God may say after this, that maybe we may bring to an end introduction. We are just taking the introduction to the three constituents of our foundation. And when we are done with the introduction, now we'll come and pick them one by one and begin to digest them according to the various scope of understanding we have now. Today we are looking at developing the believer's value system. I've been talking about value system. So today we are going to look at developing the believer's value system. A little recap. We have been defining values, the value system. On many occasions, I've made this statement that the value system is the things you place first, the things that work most to you, the most important things. This is what you call values. And these values inform our daily decision. In a very practical way, we want to define the word value to you. It's about how we rate things, the sense of rating. The sense of what? Rating. So how somebody rates something, it's what we call the values of the person. Now, the truth of the matter is that everything in this world is rated. Yes. If you don't know, I want to let you know, everything in this world is rated. We have attached certain value of importance to everything that is on this earth. So, don't everything in this world is rated. And the rating is very subjective. Are you following me? So, last time I gave an example here that how somebody will treat a loss of one Ghana cedis will vary. How people treat a loss of one Ghana cedis will vary. To you, if your one Ghana cedis drops right now, you know you notice that you lost it. But to somebody, if that one Ghana cedis is missing, the whole world will know that they've lost money. And sometimes some of you get so annoyed with, okay, let's take a practical example. Have you been in a church before? Those of you who are, God has blessed you, have changed your story. You don't take trotter, you take Bolt and Uber now. Some of us are still in the trotter business to the glory of God. Amen. Have you noticed that 10 pesos? I have a witness in the house, hallelujah. Church, I have a witness in the house. The way she responded, I is that 10 pesos can set the whole trotter on fire. But somebody don't care to, let it be, 50 people we can take it. I've seen people who have not serious park their private car to fight over 50 pesos exchange with a pure water seller. Like, you're laughing. Everything is rated in this world. Your value system will tell how you rate things. So when we are talking about value system, it's a very essential thing to ask. So the value of a man or a woman is shown by how him or her rate things. So if I come close to you, I will know what you value by how you place importance on the things around you. There are some people, they've been brought up in such a way that they respect money than money is. So they don't have respect for man. They have no respect for people. They see human beings as trash. They know that they can buy anybody with money because they have seen their father, their mother doing it. When they went to school, they were troublemakers, and their parents bought the way through out for them. So they grow up with a mindset that money is more powerful, more important than human beings. There are people who grew up in a certain atmosphere of which they were taught that family first, life first. If you take an American, you take a Ghanaian, you see the difference in our order of arrangement. There are three things that is being given to everybody in terms of patriotism, how you are being taught, how you live in a society. Number one, your country, your family, yourself. If you come to Ghana, we start from us, the bottom. When you enter into politics, you must think about yourself first. This one, sometimes they try to go about scriptures. Take heed to thyself before the flock. So you see that if the average politician is mindful of his welfare or his welfare, they are interested in having the best cars, even if the economy is crashing, they don't care. And this thing has been our nature, has been nurtured. We are taught to be very selfish. Then after they have amassed what can satisfy them, they think about their family. So when they rise into places, they will make sure that their family is well settled. Then the third will consider how they can help the nation. But if you go to developed countries, it's your nation first. That is why if the brother messes up, they can even lock up the brother. Because an American will never put his colleague brother above the nation. Ratings. So, a Ghanaian, no, a typical Ghanaian will never die for this country. Let's be realistic here. Let me see if I have those who die for this country. Let me pray for you, for grace. a typical Ghanaian will not die for this country, but an American will lay his life for his country. It's an issue of what ratings. And that is what God values. So, your value system is informed by your beliefs and convictions. What do you believe in and what you are convicted of? As I said in the beginning, that somebody believes that money can buy everything because they saw it being. Yes, we have people in school, way back school, those of us who went to those days, the stubborn generation schools. They are very stubborn children and they deserve to be what? Explored, but because their mother and their father is powerful or they are powerful, they don't serve them. So those children will grow without respecting anybody. And you see them, they don't respect. They are the ones who can park a car and slap. And you see an average young lady who can take her hand and slap a man because he's driving a car or she's a boss. They were taught that human beings are just trash, you can buy them. So the values of a person determine or is informed by what they believe, what they were taught. So it's very important that we understand value system. Why am I saying this? God wants us to rate things in a particular manner. not as the Lord. We need to be well informed that God wants us to rate things in a particular manner. God wants us to see things as how He sees them. One very important thing that you need to know as a believer is that the value system of the believer is developed day by day. God doesn't want us to see things as how the world is seeing it. The reason why the believer is subjected to training, can we read the book of it? Let's open to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Now I need a reader. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. And another message will read to the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 1. What do you read? I'll come to that scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Now, the first thing I have to understand is that the believer's value system is developed day by day. And it is the reason why the African believer is subjected to training, subjected to doctrine and teachings, and to model him to his or her life according to certain pattern is because God wants us to see things as how He was. God asks Jeremiah, "What do you see?" And he says, "I see an almond tree." And God said, "Yes, you've seen what?" God knows that it was an almond tree, right? But He still asks Jeremiah. He wants to be sure if Jeremiah is seeing what is what. Then He said that, "I shall now watch over my word, and I was before." So when the believer is not seeing as how God is seeing, then God cannot do what He wants to do. Because your sense of rating is very important to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, everything in the kingdom has its own mechanism by which they grow and they function. I hope you know that. Everything in the kingdom, you see, the kingdom thing or the kingdom of God is not left to chances. Things are not done haphazardly for results to be generated. No. Things have been mechanized, strategically designed, that this pattern and this pattern and this pattern will bring these results. The things of the kingdom are designed to follow patterns. God is a God of order. Things, look at how He created these heavens and earth. If we look at the story of the reformation of this earth, look at the order God did it. Why didn't God create the tree on the second day? Why God didn't ask the trees to come on the second day? Why did God gather the sea and the water before He said, "Let fishes multiply in them"? He's a God of order. And if you look at the one all the way to the seven, you see that this is a God who is a beautician, who systematically organized His universe. So God is trying to tell us that He organized or He does things according to what pattern. So everything in the kingdom is what? Done according to pattern. And your value system is not an exception. So for the life of the believer to develop, for the value system of the believer to develop, there are systems and design mechanisms to which it works. And that was what Luke was telling Theophilus. What the first reading that we did in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 1, he said that the former treatise, the former letter, or the former book that I wrote to you. Now, Dr. Luke wrote two books in the Bible. He's the only Gentile who was permitted to write a book in the Bible. And the first book he wrote was the book of Luke. And he wrote it to this governor called Theophilus. Excellent Theophilus. Theophilus was a governor and who became a Christian. And in those days, there was so much information spread about the gospel, about the life of Jesus, about the teachings of Jesus. I will. So, and you know, our life is lived according to the patterns of Jesus, His teachings and His lifestyle. I hope we know that. That we all, with an open face, beholding us in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So our life is patterned to reflect the glory of God or to reflect Jesus. So, if, as I said, we're going to read Ephesians, you see that the five fold ministry or the fivefold offices that was given was to just bring one thing to the life of the believer. A perfect what? That word came to us, a perfection. Having the same stature of Jesus. Last week I told you that whenever you go before God to pray, God does not see you. He sees Jesus. So the believer must grow in Jesus. And that is your authority. So the more you grow in Jesus, the more you become authoritative. Power does not grow, authority grows. So Luke decided to help Theophilus to know the systematic way to which the lifestyle of Jesus was organized. So if you read the book of Luke chapter 1, he said, I have taken it upon myself to write unto you, most excellent Theophilus, the things that were commonly believed among us, so that you don't receive any other counsel that is not of God. And what was the thing that was commonly believed among us? If you come to Acts chapter 1, verse 1, he summarizes it into one sentence. The things that Jesus began to what? To do. And to what? To teach. So the things that Jesus began to do and to teach became the pattern to which the lifestyle of the believer is being developed into, including your value system. I hope you're following. So as I said, one of the reasons why God trained us, one of the reasons why God trained us is for you to see things as he what? He sees. And do things in this world as he will do them. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Let's read that. God wants us to see things as he will see it and do it as he will do it on this earth. Galatians 4, verse 1. Yes, please.
Now, I see that as long as he is a child, he don't depart from his sleep, only the master of all.
Okay. Add the verse 2.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
By the
son of
the
skills
until the time appointed by the father.
Okay. Did he have to read? He said, God, now I say that the hair. Who are the hairs? I got the hairs. Romans chapter 8. We are heirs of the Father. We are joint heirs with the Son. We are the children of the kingdom. We are family. We are one. We are the heads. It's a teaching service today. I want you to follow. Because you're looking at developing the believers' what? Value system. So I want you to catch something from here today. I want you to know how the life, the believers' values are developed. So that you ask yourself, is your life being modeled according to that pattern? If your life is not modeled according to that pattern, you'll never ever reflect the believers' value system. Because I told you that the value system is captured in your heart. And God, in his wisdom, when he was giving you salvation, he gave you a new heart. Your salvation package had three things. Your new spirit, a new heart, and all. And his Holy Ghost. And my spirit shall come to dwell in you. So when Jesus said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, three things came into you. And we know what heart is, right? We've already defined it. The meeting point of the conscience and all. And the mind. So that is where everything of life comes from. So God knows that the heart that you have, the Adamic heart you have, is very evil, full of idols. So he changed it and give you a new heart. However, that heart is a potential heart. For that to have manifestation, to live the character of God on life, there is a systematic, structured pattern to which you have to what? Model your life so that that heart can manifest. One thing you have to understand that the believer is not asked to do something, he's asked to be who he is. We never told the believer to stop sinning. We tell him to be a saint. That's why the Bible never called anybody a sinner. You called you a saint. Do you know why you called a saint? Have you read the book of 1 Corinthians before? You see the atrocities and the things that was done in that book. Eh? Somebody took the father's wife. Yes, the poor called them saints. Do you know why Paul called them saints? Because that is your identity. So the believer, when you are born again, you are not told to stop sinning. You are told to be a saint. Be who you are. You are not being told to exercise power, be the power you are. You are not being told to live a life of godliness or live a life of holiness. I hope you're following. You are being told, be what? Holy. Be who you are. So if you are living, so to be who you are, you must understand the patterns, the structures that are in place to help you to be who you are. I hope you're following. So the Bible said, as hair. As long as he remains a child, is what? Subject unto what? tilted and what? And godless. Unto the appointed time. You know what that scripture means? Anybody who is born again is born as a child of what? Born as a child of what? God. You're not born as a son of God. Aren't you as? Aren't you as a son is what? So, a son was not born. It was a child that was born. He grew to become what? A son, and he was given to us. So, God has not given children to the world. I will make this statement, I'll keep repeating it. That when Jesus said that go into the world, he didn't say it to new converts, he spoke to disciples. So be very careful. Oh, we are going into the world. The question is, are you a disciple? That message was for disciples. When he met them in the upper room, there was no new covenant there. If there was a new covenant, when we were casting a lot, we would have known. He said, let us choose among us those who have been with us from the beginning of the ministry of Jesus until now. So there were no new covenant. They have been with Jesus from the beginning, learning and being trained. So he told them, go ye into the world. He didn't tell the multitude, the new covenant. Because a head, as long as he remains a child, is subject. Why would God subject you to that? So that the patterns of growth can be developed in you. If there is no growth structure in the kingdom system, Jesus will be born at the age of 33 years. And on that very day, he will be crucified and he will die. And you will go. Even Jesus, God, was born to go through process. To tell you that in the kingdom, we go through process to grow. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. So there are procedures to which the believer is subjected to grow. So there are patterns we need to know when it comes to this thing. What are the patterns to help us to come up with it? That is why every believer is struggling because the person didn't grow but has been released. Unto us, a child is given. This is what we are giving to the world. We are giving them children. Let me tell you, children have the same potential that you have. Oh, am I lying? I watched American Idol and I saw this young girl, is it 6 years or 7 years? I don't think any of you came across that video. She was singing one of these very renowned American pop artists, the lady. He said, this girl is on fire, that song. When the lady was singing, I opened my mouth and I said, hey! 6 years girl, the vocals, the voice control, they're pitching. I said, hey, this one is a grandfather or a grandmother who has incarnated into this one. And that's not the only person I've seen. I've seen many young people, even our talent shows that we are doing to corrupt even our children now. You still see young children, talented ones. Do that make them mature people? Is that making them mature people? But in the church, you think that when somebody is gifted, talented, he's mature. That is why we are giving children to the world and the world is crushing them. The fact that somebody can prophesy in you doesn't make the person mature. Jesus had the potential to heal even from the day he was born. But he went through the systems. I pray for you. You will not skip the process and be crushed along the way. You will not skip the process and be crushed along the way. As long as he remains a child, is subjected unto what? Tutors and darkness unto the time of maturity. I pray. May you find comfort to be subjected under tutors and darkness. This generation of quick things, fast food, fast everything, fast anointing, fast growth, fast ministry, I pray may you be delivered from this generation. Because we are heads of the kingdom. However, children are not released until they become sons. That's why the Bible says that the creation awaits the endless manifestations, not of the child of God, but the sons of God. I pray for you that when your time of manifestation comes, you will still not be a child, not knowing your left from your right. Paul said, when I was a child, I do things like a child. I talk like a child. I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I changed. There are many differences between a child of God and a son of God. Oh. But we will not remain as children. In terms of kingdom believers, we may still be our daddy's baby, But in the world, we are men. No matter how grown your daddy's son, your dad will not stop treating you like a child. But you have to grow in the world. Our parents didn't give birth to us to remain like the boy they had. They still call us as our boy, as their small boy and the small girl they had. But they still want us to live as mature people. So we are still children of God. To God, we are still a child. We will behave like babies before God. But when we come to the world, oh, men never got that goes. We are no more children. We show our maturity as sons who have been declared, here is my son, yay! And we show the world that indeed we have gone through the process to handle the kingdom anointing, the kingdom assets, and everything at our disposal. I pray for you. May you not skip process. May you find joy. It's not important. May you find joy under governance and tutors. Many people don't want to be taught. That's why they don't like teaching churches. They want churches where the pastor will scream and shout and no. That is not it. The fivefold offices was given to what? Help you to come into what? Perfection. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me show you something. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I hope you have been blessed this morning. Now, yeah, listen to what they said. What?
Now, when they saw the bodies of Peter and John, and perceived that they were all educated and untrained men, they marveled. They realized that they had been with Jesus.
You see, that's Peter and John were unschooled people. They were fishermen. Peter was a fisherman. The scholar among all the disciples, if to me how to read, to be Matthew, because he was an accountant. So he had a little knowledge in him. But Peter and other guys, they were radical fishermen. They were rich, they had boats. They go and they sail and then they make their money. But when they were called before the council, there is a way that people can look down upon you because of your background. I don't know if you get my point. So they underestimated them, thinking that these people, they have not been to school, so how could they even answer? Or how could they even start to defend themselves? The Bible said that they were amazed by the expulsion of their knowledge. They came up as bold men, talking, giving references. Then they sat down and asked themselves, though we are amazed, but we are not surprised. Why? They could find their teacher. They know that these guys, they have been with Jesus. You remain ignorant if you don't have tutors over your life. How people have defined you will be the same way you die. But if you subject yourself under the tutors and governments, whilst people still underestimate you, they will wonder, but they will realize that no, this person has not. Let me tell you, the knowledge of God is not taught in classroom. It's not in textbook. I stand here as your pastor without going to a Bible school before. Do I look like an ignorant man of God? I'm asking you, church. Do I speak like an ignorant man of God? Does you know what I'm talking about? But when I talk, you can trace and know I have a teacher. There are not two ways about you. No, this guy is under the government, he's under teacher. It's very important. And this is the reason why the average believer grows with many characters missing in their lives. There are so many potholes in our foundations because we skip process. God is so interested in our group. And you know, because God is so interested, he gave fivefold offices. See, these fivefold offices is not a showmanship. I am an apostle. I am a prophet. It's not a showmanship. Because God is so interested in our training that we can see as how we see and do what he ought, he will have done here. He even established an office to train the believers. Ephesians 4, as I said. Let's start from verse 11 to 13. Let's listen to what he said.
Chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. And he himself gave some to the apostles.
And he himself gave some to what?
To the apostles.
All right.
Some prophets.
Okay.
Some evangelists.
Okay.
And some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry.
Number one, for what? For what? The question is, if the saints are already equipped, how should we equip them again? If you are born again and everything is in you, Daniel, Why would they still Jesus give an office to a people? That process, that told that God is a God who is strategic. He designed patterns to establish everything. Everything is potentially captured, but you need to know the patterns to bring them into reality. So the first thing is what equip the saint. Know what equipping means? To give you valuables. You see, why somebody is equipped is that the person has what it takes to deliver. But I put you in the kitchen right now, and I ask you to prepare my hometown delicacies. I plan and fertilization. Have you heard of it before? That is my hometown delicacies. And I decide to give you palm nuts, cassava, smoked fish, plantain, garden eggs. Have I equipped you? It doesn't matter how skilled you are in the preparing of my home, the things I'm giving you will make you feel. I'm using my point. But the moment I give you the cassava bowl, I add the corn meal and the okra and all those stuff. Have I equipped you? Have I equipped you?
Yes.
Are you following? Have I followed you? Oh. My wife is laughing at me. I told her grace is given according to measure. What God has given me grace to do is what I'm doing. You didn't add the kitchen grace to it. So please. But how do you get the point? So what is it? Equipping of the saints. We are saying that the saints are giving the required instruments for the deliveries that God wants them to deliver at their very respective offices. So if God raised this young man as a politician, it is the duty of the fivefold offices to identify the tools that this young man will need to be a politician reflecting the kingdom of God. If God called this young lady to be a businesswoman, God will not come and train her in that way. It is the duty of the fivefold offices to identify the tools that this young lady will need. And I mean tools, I mean the things of the spirit that can help her to deliver as a businesswoman reflecting the kingdom of God. It's not about standing to prophesy to you. So if I stand here and I prophesy to you, the prophecy should be a tool that can help you to deliver your calling. The callings of God are not the callings to the pulpit alone. Have you heard of Aquila and Priscilla? They never preached on the pulpit, but they were very instrumental to the propagating of the gospel. Number two, continue. Yes? Quicken on the same hand.
For
edification. The word edification over there is what? Building. Education, it also means what? To build. So it is the duty of the fivefold offices what? To build you. So doctrines, teachings, and everything that is done in the church is targeting and not building you into what God has called you to become. I don't spend much time on here. Let's continue. Yes.
Verse 13.
Until we all come into the unity of what? So do you know the truth over here? The lifestyle of the politician cannot be different from the lifestyle of the pastor. That's where the church has stood. Until we all come to the unity of what? What is commonly believed among us? Obviously, the unity of faith, we're talking about the objective faith. What is commonly believed? I'll come and that will be the next thing we do. We'll start with the essentials of what? The Christian belief, our faith. And you know that there are certain things that if you don't believe in them, you're not a Christian. There's no two about it. We are sorry. If you don't believe it, you can't be a Christian. Even if you don't believe one, you can't be that one. But when the offices are at work, the evidence is that each of the believers over there, irrespective of the field of operation, they have one thing in common: unity of faith. Can you see the catastrophe in the church now? The life of the politician is different from the one who is working at the media. The pastor's lifestyle is different from the lifestyle of the members. What the pastor believes, the businessman does not believe. We failed. If the fivefold offices is not able to raise all the characters in the church to reflect one thing, we failed. That's why God is so interested in training you. Because you all came from different and diverse backgrounds with different views, ideas. So there must be a system to correct those things you believe. You didn't become a Christian with an empty head. Some of you were already sport in the world, and you were at the gym. I didn't feel no. What has happened is they were at the home conference. In few 3 months. I always say that nobody is innocent. We are just not guilty. By the blood of Jesus, we thank God for that. We are not innocent. Don't look at me with an innocent look. We are not innocent. We are just not guilty. We are not guilty because somebody has paid the price. Give the last one. And to the knowledge of what? Finish it for me. Eh?
To a perfect man.
To a what?
Perfect man.
Repeat that word again.
To a perfect
so do you agree with me that anybody who is born indirectly is not perfect until the person has gone through training? So the Bible says, for all scriptures are given. For what? Doctrine. For reproof. For teachings. For correction. And for what? Exhortation. That's what? The man of God will be what? Fully what? Equipped without what? Without any sign. So when you are born again, you are not perfect. You are called into perfection. That's why you should be very careful how you judge people. My sister, my brother, you are not perfect when you go born again. You are on the journey of perfection. God will begin to prune you, work on you, break you, mold you, break you, mold you, take you through tough things. Kill all your egos and kill all the junk you took from the world. And work on you. Then you become a what? A perfect man. What happens? A perfect man.
To the measure of the stature of the fullness of.
To the measure, that is the way, to the measure of what? The stature. Not the status. So there's a stature, there's a complete skeletal system. Very visible in a built believer. And that is Jesus Christ, the statue of Christ. So when the believer is being trained, you will see the values of Jesus naturally reflecting that believer. How Jesus read things, he read things like that. So if Jesus read love over money, you will see the believer automatically. It will not be a struggle for him to love. For the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. I pray for you that you find yourself in the right structure that will help you to build you. Some of you, if I don't be running here and there, I am so confident that God has so much in this house. What I mean, this house, this church is a house, the house of God, not this building. Touch World Ministries. You don't know what is coming. Very soon, you start writing exams. You don't know. I'm telling you ahead of time. That's that. The first material has been ready. I'm telling you, our Father in the Lord said, since you have decided not to learn the Bible, He's going to force it into our guilt. Everybody will read and study. So the first material is 12 lessons. Every member of this church must complete that 12 lessons, write an assessment before you be given an identification as a member. You can't go and get this grace as well. We will not allow it. That should be the best. Do you know what is happening? The reason why the church looks so weak in the world is because we forsake what is very vital for we representing God in the world. Until we become the very thing that Jesus was on this earth, we can never survive this world. So the prince of this world coming, but found nothing in him because the man has been built. It's my prayer. But in no time, you will also grow into what? A perfect man or woman. In the stature of God. In the stature of God. That is why God trains you. That's why God subjects you to tutors and governors. That you will grow in the reflection of what God wants you to have. So all I'm trying to tell you that the reason why I say we are developing the believers, there's a development of the believers' value system, is because of this. So the stature. One of the reflections of the stature is values. When the believer is developed, you see value is values. It is so real. How is the values of the believer developed? Two ways. I'll talk about one today. We talk about the other one another time. God will bless you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I always encourage you that you can take time and go over this series. It's on our Telegram page. Take time and go over them. The value system of the believer is developed through two ways. That is through teaching. Because the things that you said to that was do and do what? Teach. So you should follow. Through teaching, and most practically, on the most common way, impartation. Let me tell you, 90% of the value system you have is through impartation. Teaching is 10%. When I talk about impartation, I know what you are thinking. It's not what you are thinking. That's not impartation. You think impartation is pouring anointing oil on your head and say that today. That's not the only thing that represents impartation. So let's take impartation today. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Let's see what Paul said. So now we are looking at how the values of the believer is developed. I said number one is what? Impartation. So let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11. Yes, please.
For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts, so that you may be established.
I long to do what? That I may do what? Impart to you,
some spiritual gifts.
Some spiritual gifts. That word gift is not about the gift of the Spirit. As you see the difference, spiritual gifts and gift of the Spirit. You understand? Spiritual gift is talking about spiritual substances that is transferable onto you. Now let's define the word impartation. The word impartation means giving or sharing of information or anything. So when I share information with you, when I give something to you, I've imparted it. So today you think the definition of impartation. This dictionary. This is not revelation. If you take your dictionary right now, you see. So teachers impart knowledge. Means that they share what? Knowledge. So whatever your teacher gives you is what he had. So yes, that's it. Whatever your teacher gives you is what he had. So the word impartation is what? Giving or sharing or distributing something. There are spiritual substances that we give, we share, we distribute. And those things cannot be taught. So as I said, impartation is not only about the gift of what? The Spirit. Or anointing. There are spiritual substances that are God. Let's listen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Listen to what Paul said. Today there's no projection, so I'm happy. I can see people reading the Bible. I hope you are making notes as well. One day we will do notes especially. My reader, are you ready? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8. Can you hear what he said? Paul said that we are longing to what? See you, not only to impart to you the gospel of what? Christ, but also our own what? Life. So it is not only the gospel that can be imparted to life. His own life. Means that the lifestyle of Paul is transferable, it is distributed, it can be distributed, it can be given, It can be shared. So it's like we want to come and see you, the Church of Thessalonians, not only to give you or impart or transfer to you the knowledge of the gospel, but our own life, won't give our own life. So please don't think that impartation is only about spiritual gift of the soul. No, life. Somebody's life can be impacted to you. And you know, they're going to see a lot of things and be very careful and cautious. Because you must know where you are being imparted. Impartation is very important, but you must know where to be imparted. Why do your parents pay so much for you to go to very renowned schools? I'm not looking down upon government schools. We call it society, right? But mommy, will you send your child to the government school? See the way she just shook her head. She will not. Even if she has to sell her clothes, mommy, why? Because you want your child to be all imparted. So impartation is necessary. But you must know where you must be very careful where you go for impartation. It is what is determining your values. Impartation. So the development of the believer's value, number one, is impartation. Paul said we want to impart our own life. Now, impartation can be received from two sources. I'm coming to a quote. First source is impartation from men. As Paul said. To be very honest with you, every grace, every gift, everything of God that God wants you to have is on this earth. By the human beings. You think your money is in heaven? No, it's in somebody's pocket. Oh, you don't know. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. For God has given us all things pertaining to us. And human beings are sometimes storage. You know, human beings are storage. Okay, don't believe it. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. This is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For we who live are always delivered to them for Jesus' sake. And the life of Jesus also will be made.
Wait. Check 1 Corinthians for me. That's what this chapter 4.
Chapter 4, verse 7. The present are we both hunger and thirst. We are only clothed with the moonless.
Okay, I'm coming. That's what the scripture was talking about. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. Did you read that one? But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Is that what you read? That's the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. That you have been children, 18 verses.
Hold on. Did you hear what he said? He said, 18 what? Do you know the 18 verses talking about? So, as human beings, they are storehouses. Human beings are storehouses. For we have these treasures. What are these store treasures? A storehouse. Bank is a storehouse. I hope you know that. So, the Bible said, for we have these 18. So, there are some 18 vessels that contain what? Treasures. Your breakthroughs in somebody's pocket. So you, when you see one, you just treat them anyhow. Talk anyhow. You are blocking your own breakthrough. Continue.
That the excellency of the power may be made.
That the excellency of the power.
May be of God.
May be of what?
God.
And not of us. So the excellency of the powers of God, but the vessel, the treasure is in a human being. So although the ability to heal, the power to heal is of God, the healing treasure is man. That's why somebody can swear to somebody being healed. Why? There's a treasure. Somebody can speak a word upon your life and your life will be transformed for the rest of your life. The treasure is in him, but the essence came from the power of God. So God deposits his grace in men and he releases his power to bring the excellency out. So you can be very gifted, But until the anointing comes upon it, man, nobody will see the value of it. That is why we need to pray for anointing. Because as of you can, you are a treasure house of God. God can deposit treasures in you. But the excellency of that treasure will only be seen when the power of God is on. So please, it's not only being gifted. You can be a prophet, you can see everything. But when the power of God is denied, nobody will recognize you. I pray for you. Everybody has presence of God in him or her. It's my prayer for you this afternoon. That whatsoever treasure that God has put into you, let power from heaven. Let power from heaven. Let power from heaven. That the excellency is of God. Let men honor and acknowledge every deposit of God in your life. Melo Vanda Kasara. But the excellency is the power of God. For there are three treasures in empty vessels. There is a treasure in you. Even the Holy Spirit that God use a treasure. May the excellency of God be seen through the power of God. Therefore, whatever you do shall reflect the excellency of the kingdom. And it is power. And it is power. The ability of God to superimpose upon every treasure of God in the life. That we will see the excellence of those treasures. It is by singing. It is by wisdom. It is by knowledge. Whatever deposit of God that is in your life, Medina Kambasaya, we declare, oh God, that the power of God, the Bible said, and they were together in the upper room, and suddenly they heard, oh, many are no shire. There was a strong wind, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. How God has appointed Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost and with fire, who went about. I pray. It was the power that came upon Jesus that made him to be a solution upon people. He said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me. I pray every empty person here that has the choices of God in you. Let the anointing, let the anointing, let the power of God. The kingdom of God is not of words, but by the demonstration of power. Oh, they are treasures. Oh, they are treasures. And the vessels. But the excellency of those treasures is rested on the power of God. Oh, may the power of God rest upon every treasure in your mind. May the power of God rest upon every treasure in your mind. In the excellence we see. Impact. Because the praising of God is men. God will not come down from heaven to do it for you. He will do it through men. Because there are treasures of God in certain places. So the values of people are being developed or imparted through men. There are many spiritual substances that God gives us to men in a form of what? A seed. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. Many spiritual substances that we give to us to men. Yes, 1 Timothy 4, 14. Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy chapter
4,
verse
14.
Yes,
please.
Do not neglect the gifts
that is in you.
Uh-huh.
Which was given to you by the prophecy. Which was given to you by the angel that came to prophesy to you? It's men. And the laying of what? Hands by the what?
By the
eldership. So the elders of the church called Timothy, laid hands on him, prophesied on him, and gave words of life. Who lays hands on you? I told you that impartation means of sharing. Paul said, for all that we see. So if the person is in wrong doctrine, he will impart in wrong doctrine. If the person is a corrupt anointing, he will impart in corrupt anointing. Whatsoever man receives, he believes. Paul said, for all that we see, I believe. Freely and freely, you can't give what you don't have. It means that you can't impart what you don't have. That is why, as a man of God, you must every day labor in doctrine, in prayer, because you must give what you can have. You can only give what you have. Don't subject your life into God's jeopardy because you receive wrong impartation. Many people start to become what it is because the impartation that they had was not from God. That's why you be very careful where you go to, where you submit your head. My father in the Lord, Apostle Timothy, said that whenever you submit to a man of God, it is like you are giving your head to him, that you choose a canvas word. If you sit under this anointing and I come and I spew every nonsense I'm going to do, how your life will come. Let's continue. So impartations are done. I want to run down. Impartations are done through men. Men lay hands on you. They prophesy. You know, prophecies will be speaking. You know, the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, not the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power. When the power came upon them, it began to us. What happened in the book of Acts, chapter 2, was not the gift of the Holy Spirit, it was the power of us. Said, you shall receive what? Power after the Holy Ghost has come out. So what came upon them in the book of Acts, chapter 2, was the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God. And every man that they received the power of what? They begin to prophesy in this book. So when men are speaking this prophecy, is what? So as I sit and I'm talking to you, it's prophecy. And they said to Paul, Paul said to Timothy, sorry, that do not neglect the gift that was imparted to you throughout the things you told you, the things you have said to you, and the hands you also laid on you. We have deposited values in you. Nobody can teach you how to love. Nobody teaches zeal. Nobody teaches commitment. You are not taught to commit. Nobody is taught how to be what? Zealous of God. They are all imparted. Impartation is catching something. In the church, we catch many things than we are being taught. Many things are caught. If you like, let me subject you to that reduced message for 1 month. You begin to talk like him. Not because you have listened to him, but you caught something. I caught a prayer virus from Archbishop Duncan Williams way back in the 60s. My brother here was this. That's how we became very radical in prayer. And the worst is when we started working with Pastor Collins. When we start to pray, you will not see the difference. If Elder Prince is praying here, if you don't take care of your answer, you think it's Pastor Collins. Not that he's mimicking it, but he has one within that impartation of him. Can you tell how you call this? So in the church, there are many things we catch that we are being taught. Impartation. So this is very important that Paul said to the church in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. That parting your life after me. Yes, as I was parting my life. The second way of impartation is impartation from our environment. Because of time factor, I want you hold on with this topic and talk about this deeply another time. Your values are practically developed by the environment you find yourself in. Let me give you a proof in the Bible. Acts chapter 4, 34 to 37. Then we read Acts chapter 5, verse 1. You see, say something. Acts chapter 4, verse 34.
Chapter 4, verse 34. Now was there anyone among them who lacked?
Okay.
For all who were possessors of lands or houses.
Listen, they said, for all who were possessors of land and houses did what?
Sold them. And brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. The lady that was using.
So everybody in the church, and when I talk of environment, talking of the believer's ecosystem. And when I say environment, it's not only about things and listen. Everything in that place is your environment. The culture, the activities, everything is an environment, everything is your environment. So look at a particular environment. Everyone in that environment began to sell their properties and they brought the money to the apostles in their hand.
And they distributed to each as anyone had
to do. Now move to chapter 5, verse 1.
But as it is my name and Ananias, Sapphira and his wife sold their possession.
Why did Sapphira and Ananias sold their possession? Environment. Genuinely, those people were not attached by God to sell. But because they came into an environment and they found everybody doing it, they started doing it. What am I trying to tell you? All the things we do, 90% is as a result of the environment we have. The way you speak, the way you talk, the way you treat people, the way you handle things is as a result of environment. Impartation can be done through environment. So whatever the devil wants to corrupt a generation, he creates the enabling environment to make them corrupt. The kind of environment you are born into as a Christian. I said I don't know too much about this. The kind of environment you are born into as a Christian determines the foundation. If you are born into a church that believes in only prayer, you will grow as a praying warrior without the word of God. You will bloat. You call them the bloated Christians. They are so anointed, but they have nothing in them. When you punch them, eh? When you are born into a church, all they do is word. You grow in the word of God, but you lack anointing. Powerless Christians. The environment. That's why there are some Christians who don't believe that the speaking of tongues. It's not their fault. But where they were born to, where their Christian life started, they don't believe in tongues to people. There are some Christians who are very stingy because they were raised in a church where they don't give. And there are some Christians, they can even sell themselves. Because they were raised in a church where giving was the normal thing. Ananias and Sapphira decided to sell them not because they were convicted by God. If they were convicted by God, they would not be full man. The environment compelled them to act otherwise. Our impartation is also drawn from the environment. The question is, which environment do you find yourself in? The church you belong to. The place you're in, entered and fed. What are the kind of environment created over there? If you enter into this ministry, I can promise you two things you will do. Nobody will force you to do. Number one, intimacy. Number two, you'll be ministry conscious. It seems like everybody known for Christ in CMI is into ministry. Two of us. Why? That is the environment. That is the environment you are born into. One typical thing you see in this ministry is humility. If you don't take care, you don't know a pastor from a church member. If I come here this morning, early enough, you would have seen me thinking, but you know my time, the pastor, you know. My appearance doesn't even look like it. So he said, when you go to Kumasi, you see that the two also raise the church. The only thing that you may know, you may use to catch his body, is stature. He is the only person who has that stature among us. But the rest are Pastor Song, Pastor Collins. You may think that they are also another ordinary. This lady was so surprised. After I finished preaching at camp meeting, she didn't know I was an elder. She didn't even know I was a pastor. Because I was just gallivanting around making sure that everything is in place. How do you didn't know? When I finished preaching at the camp meeting, she said, so you're a pastor? And I said, yes. The environment I went into, we learned humility and we didn't even know that we're humble. We are not even conscious of who we are. We are servants. That is the kind of environment. The thing is, the environment you are born into spiritually determines your values. So your spiritual environment will tell you what you put your money into, what you invest your time into, what you should sacrifice for. So some Christians are taught to sacrifice for pleasure. So they are interested in worship. I'm not saying it's bad, music concerts. Fasting and prayers is haram to them. But there are some Christians that go into an environment that typical fasting and prayer. You can't walk with Apostle Aromi and you be a Fugian. No, you can't. You can't walk with Apostle Joseph Suleiman and you like it. But you see Apostle Joseph Suleiman's children, nobody tell you, you can hear. Ah, rock on. You can hear the thoughts. You don't know. No. This one, you know the sense. The environment will let you pray like, when you come to offer Christ, nobody will teach you how to pray. By the time you leave, they come to you, pray yourself. We had a friend called, he's here, Elder Martin. You know, he was the most calm, quiet person. We never knew he can pray as and sweat until he came to offer Christ. And we saw our brother praying and screaming and saying, hey, environment can change people. Elder Abraham is a very quiet guy. But when he takes the microphone, there's an environment you are born into. When we went to senior high school, Apam was a prayer center. We all grow in prayer because everyone is praying. Your environment will determine how you grow. Church, let us not take for granted places that we send ourselves to as our spiritual leadership, or the man of God, or whoever that ministers to us. We shouldn't take it for granted. Because your life, your values are determined by the things they release into you. It's my prayer for you that you find yourself under the right anointing. The Bible said the hair, as it remains as a child, is subjected to darkness and sweetness. May you know your sweetness. May you know your darkness. The ones that God has ordained for you, that you submit yourself under their teachings, and thereby the right one, because God has a way he wants you to see things. God wants you to know how he knows things. He asked Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I saw an arm on the tree, it's all right. He God asked you, how do you see the world? Will you give the answer right to the heart of God? He asked me, what do men say I am? What will you see? God wants us to see things and he sees things. That's why you put these structures to develop your values. Your sense of greatness. I pray for you. May you not miss it. And go to one place. And I'll get the wrong. Some people have been taught that ministry is a body making center because that is the system they were born into. So they are interested in killing people. Some people have been born into an atmosphere because they have no regard for men of God. I pray for you. May you not miss it.
Amen.
May you stay under treatment.
Amen.
May you stay under the right atmosphere. May you stay under the right atmosphere. The Bible said, they shall be like a tree planted by the side of the river, who shall bear his fruit at this season. May you not be a barren tree like the fig tree. That blessings will be pronounced on you. The believer's value system has been developed. That we will see as our eyes see. Open our eyes, O Lord. That we may see as you see. We can't subject ourselves to the sin of this world. The world is ready to be close. We are praying that, oh Lord, we are praying in this prayer that whatever hand that has been laid on us, whatever atmosphere that will expose you, whatever doctrine, whatever seed that has been sown into us, that is not the right seed. We are praying the next 1-2 minutes. That all Lord be tossed by us. Conduct a deliverance system on us now. Oh, Spirit of God, may you help restructure our new system. If any impartation has been done, that is a wrong impartation, God help us. God help us. May that be Messiah. Continue in my Lord help us. Lord help us. Let our structures be right. Let our values be right. May the Lord see Kapanda. And in the men of Palasia. Lamina Pesaka. Amen. Tell the Messiah. The God of Messiah. The good of the Messiah. Oh, Barada Kapu. I pray for you. That your value systems will be well developed. You will see as how God sees. The things that Jesus began to do and to teach, you will replicate the life of Jesus. When people see you, they will not need to ask you, are you a Christian? They will call you a Christian. Like the way they call the people in the city of Antioch, that these are followers of Christ. Because the values of Christ were seen them. The Bible said, let your light shine so bright, so bright, so bright, that men can see and give glory to the Father. I pray that your light will be seen. I pray that your character will be seen. Not as the character of the world, but the character of Jesus. That men will not say that these ones we don't know who they are, but they can identify Christ in you. For Christ in you is the hope of glory. God in our Messiah. There are treasures in empty vessels, and God will release power to adorn you. And men will honor what is in you. May the right values be the Lord with you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Just breathe.